The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. It is another week. By the way, it's a new month. That old man July is finally gone. And what a month that was. A lot of news breaking. But we are in a new month, and maybe things will be a little bit calmer as we count down the days to the college football season. Let's begin with some headlines. And you may have missed this one over the weekend. Yeah, the athletic director at Ohio State. How many times have they been left out as the number five team? Gene Smith says, let's take a pause here on this playoff. He didn't say it, but he insinuated. Maybe there's some nefarious things going on with that SEC guy in the middle of the CFP. Greg Sankey joined us the other day and had this response.
We are not the conference that's been clamoring for college football playoff expansion. That's come repeatedly from others, from commissioners, from presidents or chancellors of universities, athletics directors, head football coaches, even in the media. The call for college football expansion has been present. And we've said, and I've said to you many times, four has worked, is working, and it can continue to work. And I've even said that subsequent to the identification of a format for consideration. And we need to understand that's exactly where we are in this process. Here's a format after looking at a variety of options. And the charge for those of us appointed to a working group was to check our logos, our conference ball caps at the door, and think about college football. So let's just be candid. The Pac-12 hasn't had regular access into the playoff. I happen to be one who thinks an adjustment that opens that up should be considered. And so the allocation of automatic opportunities for conference champions is a nod to offering that consistency of opportunity for many. We could simply stay with the four best teams. I'd be satisfied or interested in discussing that further if there are concerns about the 12-team format entered. But I still think the values and the fundamentals and the objectives present in our working group's consideration are relevant today, even with the breaking news of this week.
Still shaking my head about last week. Anyway, that's not the only headline that we have to share with you today. It's maybe the most important. What about the 9-game schedule for the SEC? That has been pushed for years. In fact, Nick Saban's been arguing for that for at least 10 years. And some speculation, one from Andy Staples, is that it could happen. I think it's going to happen. When is the question? When does all of this go into effect? Is it divisions? Is it four-team pods, as others have suggested? Those are questions that still need to be unpacked, but something tells me that in a dark room in Birmingham right now, there's an associate commissioner working on that. we will keep you up to date. Meanwhile, seismic changes mean a lot. Ivan Maisel, remember Ivan? He has certainly been one of the key figures in modern college football history from the writing standpoint. He'll join us to talk about those seismic changes in just a few minutes. And the guest list is here. And we will talk to John U. Bacon. When somebody can tell us what the U stands for, you will win the bacon. JB from Northwest Arkansas, Josh Bertaccini joins us from the Red Zone with JB. The aforementioned Ivan Maisel. He's not just a writer anymore. He's a vice president. He and Kamala Harris have that much in common. Gene Stallings, College Football Hall of Famer. He was once a junction boy at Texas A&M. He later coached Texas A&M. Of course, you know him from Alabama, winning a national championship in 92. He was also in the NFL, and we will get his first opinion, his first take at what it means to the SEC now that Texas is involved. Don't forget, Coach Stallings was a member of the Texas A&M Board of Regents back in 2011 when they made the decision to come to the SEC, and he also was a key player in that. So college camps, are they open? Yeah, they're about to be open any day now. So Bama opens up at the end of the week. First full day in pads is still more than a week and a half away. From the East, we have some schools about to open. How about the University of Tennessee, Josh Heupel? That happens in 2 days. May the 4th be with you. Maybe the August 4th be with you. And everybody else pretty much opening on the 6th. I'm still not sure why some clubs are not sure when they're going to open, but they can call us and let us know when they do. Let's do this. Let's get to the phone calls at 855-242-7285. We begin with Philip, who starts it all off. Good afternoon, Philip.
Good afternoon, Paul. I have a question for you. Bama had future scheduled dates with Oklahoma and Texas already. How are those going to play? Are those just going to go away, or do you know?
Philip, I don't think anyone knows the answer because until we get a start date from the SEC and from Oklahoma and Texas, I think everything is up in the air. Now, I'm sure if you're the athletic director at these schools, you are making plans. It's a simple phone call. Okay, listen, if this goes into effect on that year, then we'll do that or this. But, yeah, those games, I mean, I think Alabama and Texas play maybe in 2 years. So everyone has to have a contingency plan. And I think at some point here in the next few months, we'll have a better idea. Right now, I don't think anyone really knows. But until the litigation rumors clear until Bob Bowlesby starts dealing with networks and other people as opposed to making threats, I don't think we're going to have a very good idea on what is going on. Let's continue with more calls. And Steve is up next in Florida. Hello, Steve. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Steve, I'm doing well. Thank you.
You doing okay?
I am. Yes, sir.
Listen, everybody is focused on this expansion, and we're all elated in the SEC. I'm a Bama fan. I love it. But I think the real focus should be on this NIL. I mean, were you ever 19 years old? And if you were, what would you have done if $200,000 or $300,000 just fell in your lap? What kind of decision?
Yeah, Steve. First of all, the answer to your first question is no. I was never 19. I went from
okay.
I completely skipped 19. It was just not a year I wanted to encounter. The bottom line is I wouldn't have had any idea, and I'm not, you know, I'm stating anything here but the obvious. But when I was 21 years old as a senior in college, I made $40 a month as the sports editor of the school newspaper, and I thought I was rich, all kidding aside. I mean, that was a lot of money to me back then, so I could not have imagined what it was like to have to be making a couple hundred dollars, or in Bryce Young's case, $800,000 or $900,000. There's no way may be a few trust fund babies out there, but most of us couldn't relate to that.
Yeah, well, the only point I want to make, and you could throw it out there, is how do we preserve the team concept if these kids are going to make that, and then 80% of the team isn't going to make, doesn't sound like they're going to make much at all. I mean, I'm worried about that. I'm more worried about that.
Steve, I think it's a legitimate concern. Thanks for the call very much. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that, and we're going to start seeing here in a couple of weeks. But the coaches with whom I've spoken to privately are really upset about this. Now, no football coach in this league or any league can afford to go public and be upset about it because there's just too much at stake. But your feelings are shared by many, many people. Wes is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Wes.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul. So a couple of things. I just wanted to start off by saying, you know, for this expansion, I'm a well-traveled football fan. And I will say, I think Norman, Oklahoma is about as SEC town as any, to be honest with you. And I would also argue Stillwater, Oklahoma is a great SEC town. I know they're not in the conversation. However, Austin, Texas is pretty damn far from an SEC town.
Well, I'll tell you I have been to games in both Stillwater and Norman. I agree with you. Stillwater, I can think of a couple of schools in the SEC that Stillwater reminds me of. Austin is a completely different, Austin is like its own country. with different standards and policies. So, I mean, but that doesn't matter. I mean, Columbia, Missouri is a little bit different than Auburn, Alabama. That's what makes a league interesting, when you have a little bit of diversity.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's going to be a little bit of a culture shock there, but I will admit I think there's going to be some great rivalries formed. For example, I know Mike Leach has a distaste for Texas, so I think he might bring that over Mississippi State. I think that could be a game down the line that could be interesting. LSU, Texas, there's going to be a rivalry there, so I do look forward to some of the new rivalries that are going to be formed with this expansion.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think Oklahoma would be a natural game against a lot of schools, but Texas, I mean, the laundry list is long of schools who want Texas on their schedule right out of the chute. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. And the guests will start piling in here in a moment, as your phone calls will, at 855-242-7285. We are off and running here on a Monday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome all of you back here. More of your calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk to some guests beginning here in just a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls, and Bergen is up next. Hey, Bergen, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Paul. In the last few months, a publication based in Mobile has run a series of articles critical of Seth St. John, the chancellor of the University of Alabama, and other UA leadership for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Have you seen this series, and is that a part of a fight for control of the board at Alabama?
Bergen, I have not seen it, and I must tell you, it's the first I've heard of it. Doesn't mean it's not viable or legitimate. I just have not heard.
It's been published in the Lanyap, which is a paper-based in Mobile.
I have heard of that publication.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they aired a recent bit about former state senator Steve Flowers getting a no-show job like The Sopranos. That was awesome, and that article had people alleging that Senator Shelby made the university hire Mr. Flowers. If you haven't seen this series,
let me do this, Bergen. I am familiar with the publication, and I will go back and read it and see what I can tell you. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. We have a couple of things to pass along to you as we continue throughout the afternoon. Sam Kahn reporting at this hour that Big 12 commish Bob Bowlesby appearing in Texas today estimates that the remaining 8 Big 12 schools could lose $14 million per year in TV revenue upon Oklahoma and Texas's departure. Bowlesby says Big 12 distributes roughly $28 million in TV. He said OU Texas worth about 50%. And he was just asked about his cease and desist order last week toward ESPN. And this is an interesting sign here. Bowlesby just got through saying He said, excuse me, I just lost my place here. He said that was last week. He said, we are trying, he said, we have agreed not to escalate this publicly. It's in neither party's best interest. So what do you think that means? That Bowlesby is now backing down a little bit from his public peacocking? It could mean that Bowlesby is looking more toward a deal than a lawsuit, which would probably get him nowhere. Let's continue back to the calls. Noah is up next in Alabama. How are you, Noah? Good afternoon.
Good. How are you? I'm Noah's Ark. I called a few years back.
Yeah.
Do you remember me, Paul?
I do remember. And,
yeah,
and you're how old now, Noah?
9, about to be 10.
Okay. Well, you're definitely getting up there.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, Paul. I wanted to talk about, do you think Texas will have their TV show still, because they have their own network? Do you think they'll still have that?
Noah, I suspect the moment Texas becomes an official member of the SEC in terms of playing and competing, that Longhorn Network will disappear. I don't think they can continue doing that and be in the SEC. The SEC, as you probably already know, has its own network.
Yeah, SEC Network.
Yeah, and the SEC views all 14 schools as equal. No one school has any more influence or power, I'll say that with a straight face, than the next school. And so Texas will just become one of the 16 schools in the SEC.
Yeah. Do you think Bryce Young would be able to reach a championship, a national championship, or win it?
I thought you were going to ask me if Bryce Young could afford to buy the Longhorn Network.
No.
I think Bryce is very capable of leading Alabama to a national championship. You bet.
Yeah, I bet he'll lose some games on the way, a bunch of games probably, but not too many.
So, Noah, when do you begin school again?
Next week, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I am, Paul, actually.
So you're in what grade?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. That was a good grade. That was one of my favorite years.
Yeah.
Well, Noah, I tell you what, you be a good student and all, but don't be a stranger. We love hearing from you.
Yeah, I love being on the show.
Okay, well, Noah's one of the better callers we've had in a while, so I'm really glad that he's going back to school, and we'll hear from him soon. Shannon is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, Shannon.
Is it true, I guess it's true, that Alabama plays Texas the next two seasons, right?
Yeah, it's either next year or the year after, but they're definitely on the docket. You're 100% correct.
Well, I've got a good feeling that Texas is going to wish this back in the Big 12. After that,
I
just don't think Texas is going to give Alabama much of a shot. Do you think Sarkisian can beat Saban?
No, I don't. Not right now.
No, I don't.
I mean, I think Saban is capable of losing a game, but I don't think Sark, with the team he has in Texas, is going to do it. Now, 4 years from now, it could be a different story. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Gary is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Paul. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I want to run something by you. You had the infectious disease expert on, I think, about, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, Dr. O'Neill from LSU. Yes, we sure did.
Yeah, and she did an absolutely excellent job. And in my opinion, we are taking our eye off of the main issue, and the main issue is what's getting ready to hit us with this COVID. And we're all excited about the football season. And I'm telling you right now, if we don't get vaccinated, You know what it's going to be like when you fill Neyland Stadium with 105,000 people and 70,000 of them have not been vaccinated? It's going to be a disaster.
Well, Gary, listen, you don't need me to inform the public of what's going on. It is a serious situation. It's so interesting to compare today versus a year ago today. A year ago today, the SEC announced it would be starting the season later. It announced it would be playing a truncated season, and we were still not sure the SEC was going to happen. It wasn't until about 2 weeks from now, a year ago, August 11th to be exact, when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 shut things down. So, you know, the situation is more pressing in terms of where COVID is, except that, you know, at least among adults, a high percentage of adults have been vaccinated. But listen, I appreciate your concern, and that your message is fairly similar to what Dr. O'Neill said when she was here. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll get a report from what's happening up in the Big Ten. John Bacon, who is one of the closest observers of the University of Michigan and the Big Ten, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we are back here on a Monday afternoon trying to sample so many of the experts that we enjoy being with every day here. And one of them is John U. Bacon, the great lecturer and writer. He's done so many books, another one coming out here in a few weeks. He follows the Big Ten, of course, the University of Michigan, very closely. And John, it has been a while. Good afternoon. And quite a bit going on in college athletics. How are you doing?
Supposed to be the doldrums, right? August. Doing great, Paul. Always good to talk to you.
Well, I just want to get a – we've had so many views from this part of the country. You're up there, you know, spend so much time in Michigan and follow the Big Ten. What is your reaction of the last 10 days to nearly 2 weeks down here in SEC country?
Well, first of all, genuine surprise, which has not happened very often to me or to you, I don't think, at this stage. Kind of felt the way I did when I heard that Rutgers and Maryland were joining the Big Ten, because in the same situation, I'd heard nothing of it. So give Texas and Oklahoma credit. They kept it apparently secret even from Oklahoma State, which didn't go over too well, as you know. So genuine surprise. And second of all, the usual reaction is, okay, what happens next? In this case, it's done. SEC has now, I think, established absolute football dominance beyond question.
Which does raise a lot of interesting questions, and you'll get no argument down here, but you know, you're a follower of what has always been considered the crown jewel of college athletics from many standpoints. And I'm not here to dismiss the Big Ten, but if you're sitting there in Chicago in Kevin Warren's seat, you know, he obviously has to be contemplating, what do we do now? It wasn't his fault that Rutgers and Maryland came in and quite frankly, haven't moved the needle one iota. Nebraska was supposed to. It sounds good, right. But it didn't. So, yeah, the status quo is fine, but what are his options right now, John?
Been worse at this point, Paul. I don't see too many great options. Most of them are just kind of hybrid notions. Of course, the obvious one is try to lure Notre Dame into the Big Ten after a 100-year effort, basically, to do so. After Fielding Yost ticked off Newt Rockne in 1923, they've been begging ever since. I don't see Notre Dame going back insofar as they've not been all that tempted the last 20 years. So if anything, they'll go the ACC route, I think, like everyone else thinks, I think. Where does that lead? So, you know, beg for Notre Dame. Try to peel off Missouri, which makes sense geographically and otherwise, or make some sort of, you know, bizarre super conference with the Pac-12, with what's left of it, whatever, USC, UCLA, Cal Berkeley, Stanford. One thing handicapping the Big Ten presidents in this case, and certainly Kevin Warren, is their insistence that any new members be members of the AAU, which is not the Basketball Summer Leagues, of course, is the Association of American Universities, which few fans track at all. There are only 62 members in the United States. Florida, Vanderbilt are certainly included in the SEC. Texas is. Oklahoma's not. So some schools that might be appealing from an athletic point of view will not be appealing to these presidents. So really, your options are try to play catch-up, grab scraps, make some bizarre hyper-conference, which how much sense does that make, playing games at, you know, Cal Berkeley and so on. Your options simply are not very good. And one guy's been more worried than Kevin Warren, I think, is Mark Emmert, who I don't know why he has a job at this point. I mean, SEC's going to run this show.
But you left me, by the way, I'm no longer commenting on Mark Emmert because there's just nothing more to say. And you said it correctly. A couple of things you said there that I do want a little clarification on. One, in the here and now, and one in ancient history. You said peel off Missouri. What happened with Missouri 10, 15 years ago? I know they had a dalliance with the Big Ten. It didn't work out. Why not?
I really don't know. And that's a great question because obviously the rivalry is very good. Certainly would be very good with Nebraska, now in the Big Ten, of course. Academically, it's a very strong fit. So I'm not exactly sure what happened there other than the Big Ten at that point was not that eager, I think, to add Missouri. They did not put the full court press the way they did on Maryland, Rutgers, Nebraska, and so on. Furthermore, I mean, Nebraska probably saw the way the wind was blowing. They're as contiguous with, of course, the SEC as they are with the Big Ten. So they want to play big boy football. It's, you look south, not north. Now, how that's worked out for Missouri might be an open question. So perhaps they would be open to jumping back over. But what happened there is a bit of a mystery. You're right.
Let me get to the thing that's not a mystery, because you are a historian at heart. And I've always been intrigued by Notre Dame. I mean, if ever a school fit a conference, it was Notre Dame and the Big Ten. Now they're quasi-married to the ACC. But what happened? I mean, why did Notre Dame and the Big Ten have a standoff and that exists to this day?
Well, if you want a fun little story, and I'll keep it short, 1923 Big Ten track meet, which happened held in Ann Arbor, and they invited Notre Dame in those days because they only had 9 teams, the Big Ten, and it was pretty casual. Michigan versus Illinois for the title. Fielding Yost was the AD at Michigan, rocking Notre Dame. Michigan won, but the question was, how off were they hurt, Paul? Either 6 inches off or 23 inches off was the range of measure.
Okay, well, let me, if we could...
23 inches, you will never be in the Big Ten.
So...
You lost about $1 billion.
We're having a little trouble hearing John. He's up in upper Michigan. So if I'm hearing you correctly, and I missed a few words, John, but something that happened 98 years ago is still keeping Notre Dame from. I mean, that's hard. I know it's not hard to believe because that's how crazy things are. But that is fairly amazing.
It is fairly amazing. Can you hear me now okay?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, great. Well, to close up that story, Yost got mad, Michigan's Yost got mad at New Rockne for taking Illinois' side and said at that moment, you will never be in the Big Ten. And he meant it. So for 20 or 30 years, until about the 60s, Notre Dame's always wanted to get back to the Big Ten. They finally gave that up. And New Rockne, of course, followed by Frank Leahy and others, did a very brilliant thing. Took the lemons, made wonderful lemonade, by playing in major cities, of course, Boston, Chicago, L.A. with USC, to become the first national brand. So after that, and it's the Notre Dame alumni who refuse to join the Big Ten. The ADs occasionally have flirted with the idea, but the Notre Dame alumni are very proud. They love their independence, and they've got a thing for the Big Ten based on, as you pointed out, 98 years of history, incredibly. So that's college football. Doesn't matter in baseball. It sure does in college football.
Well, that is really a fascinating story. I will go into the stacks at the graduate library and dust off some old newspapers on that. Okay, so let's talk about the Big Ten moving forward. They have a very lucrative deal with Fox and ESPN. That deal is coming up here in a couple of years. They have a very successful network, like the one you're currently being seen on, and you know they don't have a lot of good options. And you did mention a marriage. Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner today, talked about the possibility of connecting with another league. How would that work? I mean, I know how it would conceivably work, but how do you think it would go over for Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State fans to suddenly have a relationship with Cal Berkeley and USC within the confines of a league? I mean, it seems a little bit out of the ordinary, to say the least.
It sure does. I mean, honestly, the only way it really works is to do what you did for 50 years, from 47 to 97, with the first Pac-10, Big Ten, Rose Bowl arrangement. You might play each other in the non-conference schedule, and Michigan and Ohio State would often play with Washington or UCLA, one of those teams, Stanford, in the non-conference. And then, of course, the winner of both leagues meet in the Rose Bowl. So it'd be American League, National League kind of stuff, basically. There's no way you could run it the way you can run the SEC, which is, you know, two divisions where you play all your teams and so on. You're too far apart, I think, to make it really stick. Which is why, again, back to the...
Okay, well, for some reason, we have pretty much...
John Martin, Carl.
Okay.
Got me?
Yeah. John, where are you? I trust you're in the state of Michigan.
Technically, yes, Paul. If you look it up, I'm in Munising, Michigan. It juts out into Lake Superior, and across that 160 miles of lake is, in fact, Canada. So I'm way, way up there.
And I guess my next to the last question is Jim Harbaugh in charge of your cell connection?
We're on fine terms, but you guys have been talking about Jim being in the hot seat for many years, and I have always said, no, he's not. It's up to the AD. Well, the AD just changed his contract in the offseason, so it's basically at-will contract year by year almost. Very small buyouts by relative terms. So I would say this year it is a do-or-die year for Harbaugh and probably going forward as well.
And, John, I must say, I never thought I would live long enough to hear you say this is a do-or-die year for Jim Harbaugh. Maybe the world is coming to an end.
Well, one of the many benefits, Paul, of aging well. So
yeah,
well,
I knew. I'm glad I hung on just a little bit longer so I could I could hear this. John, be well. We look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks when your book comes out. It's great reviews already, and you have a good time up there on Lake Superior.
That is correct. Thank you, Paul.
Look forward
to talking to you soon.
Having spent a little time in Chicago in my youth, I did work on my Great Lakes. We will take a break. More to come. More guests, including the legendary Gene Stallings in the final hour. We are heading to the break, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and Van is up next. Van is calling us from Oklahoma. Hello, Van.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I've just been trying to get in for 4 or 5 days.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to enlighten some of your viewers and listeners about rivalries. Everybody thinks that Texas and Texas A&M, that's their biggest rival, which actually it's not. Texas' biggest rival is Oklahoma, and vice versa. That's why they're joined at the hip and going into the SEC together. Now, A&M is a rivalry, no doubt about it, but it's not Texas' biggest rivalry. And to kind of explain some of the things, I was in a good old-fashioned, dirty floor, stinking beer joint, not a tea-sipping house, a few years ago, and a guy wasn't familiar with Texas and Texas A&M, and he asked me, what's it like to lose your rivalry? And I reminded him of the Texas-Oklahoma. And so I said, I didn't like it. I wish they still played. That was great on Thanksgiving. And then we got to talking, and he said, is it true that Texas A&M doesn't have female cheerleaders? And I said, that's true. I think they call them yell leaders or something, you know, potato, potato. And he said, well, what does that look like on the sideline? And I couldn't really come up with something. And I thought a minute, I thought, wait a minute. Have you seen the movie Longest Yard with Adam Sandler? And he said, yeah. I said, well, that was an all-male prison, and there you go. Look at their cheerleaders.
Well, hey, thank you for the update. Colin is up next in Texas. Hello, Colin.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? First-time caller. I just had a question about how the SEC bringing on more Western schools. And was wondering if they'll still keep the name of the SEC or move to something like the SWEC, and if they will stay a part of the NCAA.
Yeah, the second part of your question is really up in the air in relation to the NCAA, but I cannot imagine the SEC changing its name. It's been like that for a long, long time, and quite frankly, for the last 10 years, the SEC has had Missouri and Texas A&M, and I've never heard one conversation about changing it. And I realize Oklahoma and Texas are a little bit, you know, pushing it a little bit farther out there. You know, Arkansas is in there as well, of course, which Arkansas borders Oklahoma. I don't think that will be considered. Now, maybe if they added, you know, five or six schools from Arizona or Utah, Colorado, or California, but not right now. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. And let's check out Jackie, who is in Georgia. Hello, Jackie. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. My son read somewhere a pod system that looked very equitable. It was Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky in one pod, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vandy in another, Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State in the third one, and the fourth one, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Missouri. And they would play the three teams in your pod, and then the other six games would be you'd play every on the other three pods, you'd play two of the four each year, and so basically in 4-year period you would play you'd play everybody twice. So I thought that was about as equitable as you could make it, so hopefully they'll come up with something like that, because that looked very sound.
Jackie, at the moment I think that's the most likely. I don't know what's going to happen when you get all these people in the same room, though. Hey, thanks for the call, appreciate it. Al is up next. Hello, Al.
Hey, good evening, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yep. Well, look, first thing, I just don't really believe the commissioner was fair with us about when he found out about all this, Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC. But I got an idea. If we could get you and Mike Griffin appointed to a committee of two to investigate it, and if y'all see there's something there, we make it add on Daryl and I, man, to help you out.
So you're thinking about a 9/11 type of commission to investigate what really happened.
There you go. And I think to start off, you and Mike Griffin as a committee of two would be good to start with. And if y'all find out there's a little smoke there, we might could get our man and Daryl to come in with a little assistance.
Well, I would be honored to serve with a distinguished your retired serviceman like Mike Griffith from 101st. Hey, thank you for the call. We have 3 hours to go, including we'll head to Arkansas in a minute and find out how the Razorbacks are handling the Longhorns coming into the league. The former coach at Texas A&M and Alabama, Gene Stallings, with us as well. Ivan Mazel in the third hour. We are coming right back.